All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV, happy Wednesday. It is 38 degrees, overcast and raining here in upstate New York, which, hey, is much better than like six and snowing. So I am not complaining. The very, 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 very last blob of snow on my deck finally disappeared, so I can be declared snow free. This is probably the first time since November we have been snow free, so that gives me something to celebrate. Apparently, too, yesterday was National Beer Day. I don't know if anyone knew about that. I remember seeing that last year, but I was kind of like, eh. But this year, I definitely saw it, and I was planning on it, and then I missed it because I took a very long nap off a short pier. But apparently yesterday, April 7th, was the anniversary of the end of Prohibition, and it really isn't an official holiday, but it's something that the craft brew people, I guess, have been celebrating for a couple years now. And you know what? I think it's a pretty good idea. It would make a really nice national holiday, probably better than some of the other twanky national holidays we have out there that we celebrate. So I think I'm going to have to celebrate tonight, maybe in abstentia, is that what they call it? I got to make it up. So yesterday, we spent an entire show talking about more crazy stuff. We did a lot in regards to just this whole setup that I see with using the fear porn, of course. And we know that. The fear, we discovered that a long time ago, and we knew that long before, but we looked into the biology of using fear as a control technique, mind control, brainwashing, and getting the masses to run into the corner huddling so then they stand there and beg for you for your saviorness. We see right now, you know, and they just keep playing this over and over and over again, but it just depends who the players are this time. So this time it appears, yes, there was an Ebola resurgence, and I was right. The third country that I had mentioned yesterday, I guessed was Liberia, and it was. I thought that's what I had read. So is Guinea, Sierra Leone, and Liberia are resurging again. I believe Liberia is the one that they put back under martial law, like they did the first time where they made everyone stay indoors for days on end with the quarantines to try to stem the outbreak. We talked about the super bug scare now that's everywhere, Shigella, this disease that, you know, had been known internationally, but it's spread everywhere. It's in 32 states. Holy shit. No pun intended. Or maybe it was, you have diarrhea and you could die. There's lots of intestinal bugs that can do that. I mean, obviously, if you don't get proper hydration and proper nutrition, if you lived in a third world, Shigella is probably going to be a lot more dangerous than here. They said it strikes a lot in like daycare centers and old folks' homes. Yeah, I mean, young kids and old people tend to have not as strong immune systems at times. So, I mean, it could be dangerous. Nothing to laugh at. I mean, anything like that is nothing to laugh at. But the fact that, I mean, Shigella isn't something new. Like I was saying yesterday, I read all about it when I bought that Steripen for my shit at the fan kit like 6 years ago. So, I mean, I fully 100% was aware of Shigella, but I guess there's some big resurgence now across 32 states that's going to help cost justify the $1.2 billion that Obama has pledged to battling now super bugs that are resistant to antibiotics that, of course, is being blamed on us because we took too many of them, not on the farmers that had injected them into all the farmed animals, factory farmed animals, or the doctors who misprescribed them. They also warn in the UK, we have up to 80,000 people who could have succumbed to these antibiotic resistant diseases, as well as this adult national immunization plan. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday. And how interesting is this all comes together. Oh, yeah, and the big Listeria outbreak, by the way, at the Bluebell ice cream facility. So, you know, they're just putting this right into the front part of the dumb American public's minds to go, oh, you need to be afraid of something else now because you're going to die. You're going to die. There's too many diseases and we're not vaccinated. And of course, they've been ramping this up for a long time. They got everyone afraid now of anti-vaxxers. And see something, say something. I mean, it's such a perfect way that they do this. And I've said before, if this was all done by accident, and every time that I start seeing connecting dots like this, if this was all just by plain accident, I'd be, holy shit, look at how wonderfully these puzzle pieces all fit together. But it can't be. This is orchestrated. They look at what the red button issues are going to be to get you in the herd running for which door, door number A, B, or C, depending upon what the agenda is for this quarter. And apparently the agenda for this quarter, since the biopharma companies are now rolling in dough after they started their human trials for the untested Ebola vaccines, after they scared us down that door, now biopharma is rubbing their grubby dirty hands and they are looking for profits for Q2. So it is all about getting you scared, getting the money flowing, $1.2 billion. DARPA jumped into the game. They're now looking for proposals from corporations out there to help them combat the superbugs. So all this money to be spent, all these vaccinations to be discovered, and all these vaccines to be given in the next few months. Cha-ching! Thank you for playing. You picked the right door. So let's continue a little bit, because one of the things that I mentioned yesterday, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, was we started comparing what is going on in the world of vaccination and drugs and disease. And we looked historically at the U.S. biological warfare program. And one of the things that we discovered in digging into Plum Island and some of the things that they did back in the horrific olden days when we kind of were allowed to use biological warfare, is that they ended that program back in the late 60s and said that we were going to handle biological warfare from the defensive end and we were going to make vaccines to protect against it. That's what they decided to do. I call bullshit on that. Because if you really dig into the research, which we've spent weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks understanding how this RNAi works and how the microbiome works in humans and how immunity works and all of the crazy shit that they're doing, when we dug down deep into that, it became very, very, very clear to me that our biowarfare program never ended. It just got renamed. And now, biowarfare is being done under the name of science. I mean, when we read about how they moved Plum Island to Kansas, to the University of Kansas, mind you, and they took it from a level 3 or a level 4 secure facility and they put it at the university while they're building the new Plum Island in the heartland in the middle of Tornado Alley. Yes, that's really bright. They now have it sitting at the university, and they are working on all kinds of remedies for all kinds of animal diseases. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Well, if you realize the fact that to work on a remedy for disease, whether it be an animal disease or a human disease, you got to have the disease in the first place to come up with the remedy. Then it makes you go, ding, ding, ding. Hey, wait a minute. They still have all these substances that at one time they were using for biowarfare that now they say they just have in the petri dish to see how to make a vaccine for it. But, you know, when we started reading about, like, the GMO mosquitoes from Oxitec that are going to be flying and killing the indigenous species, but remember, they're the size of pterodactyls. You know, that's what that woman said, and they stab like knives through your clothes. They They bite humans and fish and dogs and they make you bleed profusely. No, she didn't say that, but that's all I was imagining is just like, bleed to death from a GMO mosquito bite that comes along with a poison dose. I mean, who knows? You know, they can do whatever they want once they start editing the genome. And I mean, that's probably the scariest part about all this. You know, I joke about, oh, the third arm grown out of your forehead. But I'll tell you what, they probably could do something like that. You know, when we got deep into the RNAi and how RNA interference works and flipping switches on and off, and then we started reading about pesticides. Remember, we made that connection as well, not just to biowarfare, but then we dug into Monsanto and started showing how these new technologies that they were using, the Ebola vaccines and the HPV vaccine, and now some of this new stuff that's coming out. And we showed how it was the exact same technology that Monsanto, as of beginning year 2014, in their year forward-looking statement, had shown they're using the same technologies to flip switches on and off in plants. Then we listened to Dr. Huber, who showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that these technologies that they've been putting into these GMO plants have been passing not only down to the animals that consume them, us being the top of the food chain, but also to the insects that come into contact with them and the soil. Now, that should be pretty alarming to you because, like we said a long time ago, the genie being out of the bottle, it is way beyond out of the bottle. So, all right, now that we've established all that, now that we've established these connections, I came across a story yesterday. Somebody posted this on theantimedia.org, and I don't know if they listen to the show or not. If they look at all of the painstaking notes and article links that I post at the bottom of just about every show after I talk about it. But Mr. John Rappaport had a story published that pretty much says exactly everything we've been saying for weeks and months on end. Except I didn't know it was in Hawaii. Secret biowarfare research in Hawaii involving Monsanto and Big Pharma with a question mark. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody found it. Here's a stunning quote from Sherwood Ross's 2007 Counterpunch article. It states, called "The Big Profits in Biowarfare Research, Corporate America's Deadliest Secret." Now remember, internationally speaking, we are banned from developing biological weapons, as are all other countries around the world. But if you're not doing it out in the flagrant open and you're doing it under the guise of protecting your country with anaphylaxis, which is what they want to do, by the way, you do know that that Ebola vaccine now, in the countries where Ebola has died down and they're still doing now live human testing with these, there were four or five different types of vaccinations from different companies that use different technologies. One of the things that they were working on was injecting a large part of the population, and I don't remember which African country it was, but it was one of the African nations where the Ebola had settled down, and they were doing it to see if it would act as an anaphylaxis to prevent future infections of Ebola. Well, put on a seatbelt because, I mean, when we were kids, the childhood immunization schedule, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it wasn't a lot. We had like 12, 13 vaccines. They were all for the basic things. They had already gotten rid of the live polio, you know, because the generation before us, a whole bunch of people got the polio virus. My father's cousin being one, he actually had polio from the vaccine. So they got rid of that. They also gave us, they stopped giving us smallpox because smallpox was very disfiguring and a lot of people got sick from that vaccination as well, unless you were going internationally, which my family, my one side of the family lives in another country and we went to visit when I was a kid a couple times. So I was required to get that smallpox vaccine, thank God. It didn't, I mean, as far as I know, I don't know, maybe some of my funky problems now have something to do with that, who knows. But smallpox had ended for the general populace I lost my train of thought now. I looked at chat for a second. Anyway, so let's get back to the story. All right, so this is from John Rappaport. He said 2007, the Counterpunch article titled "The Big Profits in Biowarfare Research, Corporate America's Deadliest Secret," quote, "A number of major pharmaceutical corporations and biotech firms are concealing the nature of the biological warfare research work they are doing for the U.S. government." Hey, imagine that. You know, and what gave it away for me was the fact that DARPA was sprinkling money to all these corporations. I mean, hello, DARPA does the research for the black ops military. And militarily, making sure that we have research and biowarfare would probably be something we'd be doing, especially since it ended so abruptly at the end of the 1960s with no further research being done. Wink, wink. You know what I mean? Like, just people are so fucking stupid if they believe these bullshit stories they tell us. I think the last time I talked about this, I used the story about HARP. HARP was up and running. I could look at all the charts. It was online, man. You could go in there and do historical readings from all the HARP experiments. And then one day, they ran out of funding, and the very last experiment, quote unquote, per the news, was that DARPA was up there doing the very last experiment before they shut HARP down. Now, anybody who believes that HARP got shut down needs to go get some, I don't know, some sort of therapy, I think. You need to be discombobulated from believing the machine. They didn't shut HARP down. Yeah, they shut HARP down publicly. They shut HARP down from us having the access to the web interface, just like all the other tools over the last 4 years that we used to have, like the magnetometer looking at the Earth's magnetic field that was live, or the speedy atmospheric simulations showing using weather models where the radiation is dumping 24/7 off of the spewing Fukushima triple meltdown. Yeah, nah. All those programs got shut down. They didn't. And that's what they told us, too. They didn't. They just pulled the plug on public access. Oh, what? The X-37B? The baby space shuttle that was supposed to be shuttling supplies to the International Space Station? And then Obama. Again, we had no money. This, I think, was in, trying to remember if it was 2008 or 2012. Might have been 2008. Shut down the space shuttle program. Because guess what? It's getting old and we have no money. We have $1.2 billion to do investigation on antibiotic-resistant fucking diseases. There's all kinds of stuff out there that's not going to take $1.2 billion to research, like garlic and onions. Right? We've established that. The Saxon cure for MRSA. Silver. That also cures MRSA. Manuka honey. And it doesn't even have to be Manuka. Just get yourself some organic local honey. I'll take the $1.2 billion. Cut me a check. We could have used that $1.2 billion to keep our space program up and running. Instead of now having to depend on the Chinese, the Russians, and the fucking Indians. But what? All right, so we shut down the space shuttle program. And guys, that actually put tears in my eyes because space shuttle launched. I was in high school, man. We watched it live. We had the satellite dish when I was a kid because we didn't have cable. So we had one of those big honking 10-foot. My father, he had to have his toys. We had this 10-foot dish in our little suburban backyard quarter acre home on this freaking concrete slab. This thing looked like we were contacting ET and we could get like our 7 channels on it because there was nothing on there. Most of them were like crazy evangelists and, C-SPAN and the NASA channel. But we could get NASA live on there. And I will never forget the day I graduated high school, my 18th birthday. I come home, space shuttle Challenger is taken off. It's got the school teacher on board. So it was such a big deal to everybody. We watched it blow up live. I mean, guys, that was just so devastating to me. So when I saw them shut that down, I had just connected with that space shuttle so deeply. It literally put tears in my eyes. But there was a baby space shuttle. The baby space shuttle was the X-37B that went into the belly of the space shuttle, and it was to be used for the International Space Station supplies. Well, Obama shut down the space shuttle program, declared we didn't have enough money. They carted that sucker all the way to the Smithsonian, and the X-37B got taken into CPS protective custody by who? DARPA. And then the Air Force, flown on a secret classified mission, and I think it's been up two or three different times now, for very long-term, discreet, secret missions in the sky. Nobody really knows what it was about, but one of the things that we discovered, because you could track it, it was still available on that online tracker that you can use for all the satellites, but one of the things we discovered, it was some of the first experiments with unmanned aerial vehicles for long periods of time. There have been rumors that it was being used for surveillance and for mobile HARP. People have been showing how when it was flying over locations right around the same time it was crossing over, there were big earthquakes, and you could actually literally go out to HARP and see that HARP was fired up at the time. All speculation, but what I'm saying is they said the space shuttle program got shut down for lack of funding. I mean, how many more of these things do we have to go through that happened over the last few years? Like the Near Earth Object Orbiter Telescope. Oh, no more fucking money. Let's shut it down. You better believe that that thing's still up and running. They just might not tell us when they see something coming. I don't know. I'm getting off the topic, though. I don't want to go any further. So let's get back to the story. So I'm going to read this paragraph again. Quote, out of this big profits in biowarfare research, corporate America's deadliest secret, quote, a number of major pharmaceutical corporations and biotech firms are concealing the nature of the biological warfare research they are doing for the U.S. government. Since their funding comes from, and yes, we talked about these guys many times, the National Institute of Health, who is spearheading the brain research project, people, remember that. The recipients are obligated under the National Institute of Health guidelines to make their activities public. Not disclosing their operations raises the suspicion that they may be engaged in forbidden kinds of germ warfare research. According to the Sunshine Project, a nonprofit arms control watchdog group operating out of Austin, Texas, among the corporations holding back information about their biowarfare research activities are, all right, wait for it, here it comes, Abbott Labs, BASF. How many times have I talked about them? They are the other GMO company, the people that used to make in the 80s that special coating to go on your HD cassette tapes for super duper 90 minute sound, if you remember. BASF was kicked out of Germany too. Actually, nobody ever paid attention to this but me, but I remember BASF because they were some new company on my new super duper cassette tapes that I can make mix songs on. But BASF headquarters used to be in Germany. They got kicked out and they moved to Research Triangle Park to be in a place where we were more accepting of GMOs. Yeah, with Monsanto and Syngenta and all the other companies, because GMOs have been banned all over Europe. So Abbott Labs, BASF, Bristol-Myers Squibb, DuPont, Eli Lilly, Embrex, GlaxoSmithKline, Hoffman Roach, Merck & Company, Monsanto, Pfizer, Schering Plow Research Institute, and Syngenta. How does that make you feel? Makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. We've been on to these assholes for a really long time. says, in case you didn't know it, the White House since 9/11 has called for spending $44 billion on biological warfare research, a sum unprecedented in world history, and an obliging Congress has authorized it. Notice that the above list of corporations includes some of the biggest names in biotech: BASF, DuPont, Syngenta, and of course, Monsanto. Where is Monsanto now carrying out biowarfare research? Well, we know that one of the most important GMO pesticide experimental units is located in Maui. I thought they just killed them being able to do any GMO in Hawaii. So let's read the rest of this. I want to dig into that. Where in the last election, voters passed a ballot measure that ordered Monsanto and Dow to halt all research. Yes. Until a complete independent investigation into their activities was done. That's right. The ballot measure was aimed at disclosure for all Monsanto experimental activities in Maui County. In the wake of the vote, all hell broke loose. The county government of Maui, representing its own citizens, refuted the vote and suspended it. Oh, I didn't know about that. Representation became outright betrayal. Maui County government joined with Monsanto and Dow in suing to block and to nullify the vote, and that is a very serious move. The case was kicked up to the federal level, and two federal judges have since taken charge. The first, Barry Curran, a biotech supporter, made a few preliminary moves, and then he stepped away, appointing in his stead Susan Oki Malloway. It was pointed out that Judge Curran had a major conflict of interest because his wife, Faye, had served on the board of an environmental group that had, quote-unquote, environmental group that had taken a $10 million donation from Dow. And don't think that that isn't where some of this Frankenstein science is coming from, saying that GMOs are absolutely safe, and refuting some of the counter research that has come out showing, you know, grapefruit size tumors in rats at all. Holloway, the second federal judge, has done nothing but delay a ruling, absurdly citing possible state legislation that could resolve the situation. Since when does legislative consideration of a bill that doesn't even stop a judge from ruling on the criminal nullification of a legitimate popular vote? And that is true. Since when does a judge, with a nudge and a wink, practically ask for a new law that would support Monsanto and Dow and destroy the legitimacy of voters' voices? There is a mad rush now to destroy the voters' demand for disclosure of the Monsanto-Dow human experimentation on Maui. Biowarfare research potentially involving genetically modified organisms would certainly rank as experimentation. And I mean, we've been saying this. It absolutely is. You know, and especially when we start looking into not just human experimentation, but what it is doing to the rest of the food chain, the insects, the soil, the animals. Guys, this is genocide on a global level by these fuckers. All for profit, all for control, all for getting their patents on everything. And then they can make it do whatever they want. Hey, you know what? Those people down in Texas have always been known as a revolutionary sort. So you know what? We're going to make sure that when we're making corn for Texas, we're going to flip an extra switch or two that'll affect their dopamine levels or their adrenaline levels. You know what I mean? Like, literally, we are at the point of gods where we can influence biology and make it do what we want. Sometimes, unpredictably so, which is where we're at right now, mad science gone mad. That's why this human experimentation without your consent is such a big deal, because remember, it all comes down to R&D, research and development, line item on the budget. The more you spend, the more profit you're wasting, and the more the stockholders bitch. So if you can get rid of that $10 billion line item for fiscal year 2015 for research and development and make it, oh, I don't know, let's throw a nice token $100,000 out there, just so there's not a zero. And the rest of it's free. And we've established now over and over and over and over and over again, historically speaking, in the United States, that there have been many experiments, and not just in this country, but us responsible for it, many experiments that they have done without consent of people. That one, I think it was like $1 billion lawsuit now that's going on against Johns Hopkins University from the people down in, which South American country was it? Brazil? Argentina? One of them. For the STD study that they did without them knowing. But I mean, we did that whole, there were like 12 horrifying human experiments over the last 100 years that have been done without consent that our government had done on people to see what would happen. Let them think that they were being treated for something and being diseased with something else and getting placebos. So they weren't being helped at all. They were being poisoned and then observed like a rat in a maze. All right, let's get back here. I don't even know where I ended up. All right, there's a mad rush to destroy the voters' demand for disclosure of the Monsanto Dow human experimentation on Maui. Biowarfare research potentially having genetically modified organisms would certainly rank as experimentation. Is this part of what Monsanto was so afraid of? The revelation that beyond the new use of these toxic pesticides and new GMOs in the open-air laboratory of Maui, their biowar research activities would be exposed? Well, there is only one way to find out. Certify the legitimate Maui vote and immediately open up all the Dow Monsanto facilities for independent, rigorous inspection. Do you think you're going to get that? Because I'm going to say no. There's not going to be any independent group that's going to be able to go in there and blow the whistle on what they're doing. There's just not. Because those people will, whoops, have seen something so horrific that they tied their hands behind their own back, shot themselves in the back of the head, and then jumped off a bridge. Carry out intensive and relentless interviews with Monsanto and Dow scientists and other employees under oath, under penalty of perjury, and let's see what pops out of the hopper out of these secret guarded facilities. Well, that's never going to happen either. We need some whistleblowers to step up and get some balls is what we need. But again, they will then accidentally have a suicide. I can guarantee you shit like that happens all the time. There are 11 military bases in Hawaii. Does Monsanto maintain military connections there? If so, what sort of relationships have been formed? These questions need to be answered too. Well, I can tell you. I don't know about Hawaii in particular. And I don't think it's just in Hawaii, Mr. John Rappaport. I think you need to dig a little bit deeper because this is happening across the board. And it's been going on for a long time. I mean, the fact that Agent Orange, which at one point, it's a defoliation agent. But then, of course, they used it in the Vietnam War. I mean, that's got to tell you that there were still connections then, right? Don't think that that ever ended just because it was declared that we no longer do biowarfare. And as John has written before, the Maui ballot measure was not about commercial GMO pesticide farming. Its unequivocal language focused on human experimentation, secret experimentation, blocking it and investigating it. Well, I mean, it is human experimentation. We already know that. Everything that's going on out in the open right now with your children consuming this shit and these blossoming diseases that are happening everywhere, and we've gone through the absolute 100% connections between all of these Western diseases and glyphosate. I mean, don't make me repeat myself for the 10,000th time. All right, there's about 8 weeks of shows that probably just about every other show I hit on the connection. Go through and do your research. It's all there. It's all been proven way more to my satisfaction than I ever needed it to be proven. Two federal judges mentioned above has studiously ignored this fact, pretending the issue at stake is standard GMO pesticide agriculture. Likewise, Monsanto, Dow, and the treacherous Maui County government have gone along with the charade because they know the voters' case can be won, and if the experimentation issue takes front and center. full disclosure, could sink Monsanto and Dow. Well, and how interesting, too, that it's taking place on the big island of Hawaii. The birth certificate issue, wink, wink. The woman who verified it, of course, we never got to see the real thing. And then she was the only one who died in the plane that went down. If you remember that back a few years ago, right after Granny died, right before somebody was sworn into office. Yeah. So, I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. I just thought it was interesting that it was something that we dug up a long time ago, and now apparently somebody is putting two and two together going, holy shit, it's the biowarfare program. Well, no kidding. All right, so to get back to these red button issues, I told you they're pushing the fear porn that is trying to get you to line up and to get your vaccines in the national adult push for vaccinations. And just along those lines, what do we see? Bubonic plague now found in Arizona. It has infected fleas. And I mean, the thing is, this isn't the first time we've seen bubonic plague. We've seen it in Montana as well in the fleas. We've seen it in the mice as well. I think that was also Montana or Wyoming. Somebody got very sick because there'd been droppings in a cabin that was rented out, and there was a little girl that got really sick a few years ago. But also remember that they've been digging up all these corpses in Europe now over the last few months that were buried in mass graves from the bubonic plague. And it's funny because I read about six stories on those plague victims that they were digging up. And only one of the six stories had mentioned that they were going to be keeping samples to study the bubonic plague. All the others just made it sound like, well, they were building a shopping mall or whatever, and these bodies were in the way. So they were digging them all up for archaeological purposes, and they were going to put them somewhere else. But they literally were going to be taking samples. Well, of course, you know what they do when they take samples of shit like that. They do things like they did with the bird flu. They put it into the lab and see if they could make it 100 times more virulent and then publish the results, right? And then go, oh shit, we shouldn't have published the results because now there's jihadis everywhere who could take those results and make it into a bioweapon. So maybe we need to now lock down on the internet. And that's exactly what they are now proposing doing. So remember, we dug up bubonic plague victims. We're finding bubonic plague now in the United States, in the fleas, in Arizona, in one of the areas that has a very large population of prairie dogs, and the prairie dogs are infected. Bubonic plague found in Arizona after fleas infect prairie dog burrow. Fleas near a popular hiking trail outside of Flagstaff, Arizona, have tested positive for the bubonic plague. That's bad because Flagstaff is pretty busy. The insects were found in a prairie dog burrow in Picture Canyon. State officials warn visitors and residents to avoid contact with the prairie dogs. Public health officials noticed a prairie dog burrow where animals appeared to be dying off and saw at least one dead prairie dog, said Randy Phillips, division manager with the Coconino County Public Health Services District. To the Arizona Daily Sun, quote, "It looked like something that could be associated with death due to the plague," said Phillips. Gee, I wonder what that means. Bring out your dead. Dong. The first round of testing took place over a limited area of Picture Canyon, just northwest of the Wildcat Waste Treatment Plant, east of Flagstaff, and on Thursday, they went back to sample more flea colonies over a much broader area, said Phillips, and those results are due back later this week. Now, what I love is when we dug historically into the U.S. biowarfare program, one of the things that we found out that they especially like to experiment with was using insects to spread pathogens. Oh, mosquitoes. Oh, fleas. I mean, I don't think that they actually mentioned fleas in there, but wow, fleas are so tiny and can bounce around. They can get on your pet. They can get into your homes real easy. They can get in your hair. They can travel home with you. Fleas would be a great way. Wonder if they're working on a bubonic plague vaccine. That would be something to do for a homework assignment. Let's see whether or not one of these pharmaceutical companies or DARPA is putting money into bubonic plague. I mean, I'm telling you, they literally said that these victims that they were digging up in England, one story out of six, they were taking samples now to study it. Studying it means that they reproduce it. Reproducing it means now that we're going to find out a way to use it and then come up with a vaccine. So once the genie gets out of the bottle, we can vaccinate all the rich people and let all the ones who don't matter become a real world experiment to see what happens. Says, on Saturday, officials began cleaning and disinfecting the borough in the areas with insecticides in an attempt to prevent any possible outbreak from the plague. Arizona has experienced 64 cases of the disease since 1950. So yes, like I said, it's not the first time, but it's not seen too often. When the first known human case of the plague occurred. And how interesting is it that the first case, and that's something else that we've noticed a lot in looking at these outbreaks. It's like the first ever. Oh my God. How many first evers have we seen that seem to coincide with these other programs going on? Their first case is 1950. Well, I will guarantee you, if we do a little bit of research, we're going to find out that there was all kinds of biowarfare research going on in 1950 at Plum Island. Since then, there has been an average of one or two human cases per year, according to the Arizona Department of Health and Services. Only one person has died from the disease since 2000. And two others survived after contracting it. Plague activity in nature has been known to wax and wane over time. And this is influenced largely by climate conditions and rodent and flea populations. The ADHS said on its website, I'm trying to remember, there was an article I had a few months ago about plague in Africa as well, which I was like, oh, here it comes. The plague is going to kick back up again. And trying to remember what creature they actually blamed it on, because it wasn't what we thought. I don't know. I'll have to look that one up. Let's finish reading this. Three states in the American Southwest, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico, are responsible for 80% of all the human cases of plague, says Dave Engelthager, program director with the pathogen research nonprofit TGen North, told the Arizona Daily Sun. And you know something else that we found out when we digged into plague, when we dug into plague, a while back, was that there were different types of plague. There's the bubonic, there's the pneumonic, which gives a pneumonia type illness. And then there was a third one. I don't remember what it was, but there is definitely more than one type of plague. Bubonic is what killed millions of people in Europe in the Middle Ages. The last time plague was found in Arizona was September of 2014. When fleas in Doney Park tested positive for the disease, said the Arizona Republic at the time. Researchers believe it may be because of the Southwest climate topography and rodent populations are all similar to the high desert grasslands of Central Asia where the plague first evolved, said professor at Northern Arizona University Microbial Genetics and Genomics Center. It's found a similar place to make a new home, and maybe that's why they're starting to find it now in Africa as well. And was it ever, that was like one of the first cases in Africa, which of course I hear alarm bells when I hear the first case ever. Fleas on rabbits and other small rodents, including prairie dogs, ground squirrels, rats, and mice, carry the Yersinia pestis bacteria that causes bubonic plague. Prairie dogs are especially vulnerable to the disease due to their social nature, and outbreaks can quickly wipe out 90% of a local prairie dog population. Wow, that's a nice virulent bioweapon now, isn't it? If you normally see prairie dogs, then next day they're all gone. There's a good chance that plague is coming. Humans usually contract the plague after being bitten by a rodent flea. that is carrying bubonic plague bacterium or handling an animal infected with the plague, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And what's interesting about this is that these diseases that then can infect animals, if you remember back to Ebola, there were a couple pet dogs that were destroyed when their owners were suspected of having the Ebola virus because they said that the dogs could carry it as well. We'd also had some discussions about being able to pass pathogens back and forth between your animals after there was this upper respiratory that I had that wouldn't let go. And remember, we all had that plague, the lung plague last year. And I will tell you 100% beyond a doubt, I passed it between myself and my cats. I think I caught it originally from one of my cats, and then my other cat got it after I got it, and then we passed it back and forth. And we'll do a little bit more on a news story after this. To prevent the disease from spreading to humans, they are warning visitors and residents not to allow pets to roam freely, as well as to treat them with flea prevention medications. And the thing is like flea prevention doesn't necessarily kill the flea. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I remember, and I don't treat my animals for anything like that anymore. My animals don't go outside so they don't get fleas. But back in the day when we didn't know any better and we used to use that stuff that you put right at the back of their neck that got into their skin, you know, that doesn't necessarily kill the fleas immediately. What it does is it stops the fleas from reproducing. So, you know, unless you do a flea bath dip, which has insecticide in it. And I mean, how can that be good for you that it's absorbing into your animal's skin and their bloodstream and your skin and you're breathing it? I mean, it's just so fucking toxic. But if it's affecting their ability to reproduce, then there's still going to be a generation of fleas that'll be biting your pet and potentially giving them bubonic plague. Also, avoid contact with sick or dead animals and stay away from rodent burrows. Wear insect repellent that keeps fleas away when hiking and working in areas where plague might be active, and wear rubber gloves when skinning and cleaning game animals. You know, talk about how horrifying this is. So this year is supposed to be really bad for fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes, all three of which now carry all kinds of diseases. And one of the things that I still didn't look into was when we were reading that story the other day that mosquitoes can carry elephantitis. I don't know if anyone looked into that, but I had never heard of elephantitis as being something that could be contagious, number one, or spread, number two, by insects. I guess I always assumed elephantitis was a genetic defect. So I'll have to look into that too. Today, modern antibiotics are effective in treating plague, says the CDC. However, the disease can cause serious illness or death without prompt treatment. What do you want to bet? Let's make a rolling bet here, probably within the next year, since we've dug up 1,300 plague bodies now that we're playing with in a laboratory. What do you want to bet? Oh, and there's $1.2 billion on the table for research for antibiotic-resistant illnesses. What do you want to bet within the next year there's going to be an antibiotic-resistant plague? But wait, antibiotic-resistant bubonic plague. Let's watch and see. All right, last paragraph. Plague symptoms include fever, headache, pain or swelling in the groin, armpit or neck area, weakness, and occasional nausea. Symptoms appear within 2 to 6 days after exposure. So there you go. Plague is alive and well again. It's got to make you feel warm and fuzzy. Get ready to step right up for your future plague inoculation. It might be one of these days. It sure might be. All right, so after all these warnings now about how we're just going to have all these antibiotic-resistant pathogens out there that we need to spend all this money on, does the UN come out yesterday? Oh, yes, they did. Ebola-like outbreaks to become more frequent in the future, warns the UN. Well, how the fuck would they know that? Oh, yes, the Ebola crisis has created more than 25,000 orphans in little over a year in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. And yes, my little brackets. So we now have all these human tests that were never, of substances never proved in humans. But because we had this created emergency, we now are making money hand over fist. The UN Secretary General, Ebola specialist, did you know we had one of those? David Nabarro warned on Sunday that, oh, yes, of course, because of climate change. Ding, ding, ding. Press the red button for the dumb people. Yes, climate change is causing all of this. Outbreaks like Ebola could become more frequent. Nabarro told the British newspaper, The Independent, that diseases which can be transmitted from animals to humans were a local and a global threat to humanity. Almost 10,500 people died from the recent Ebola outbreak, the vast majority of whom were in Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia, and the disease is believed to have come from, yes, the one infected bat in the fruit tree. And we found the tree. But we didn't cut it down, don't worry. Because, you know, we want to conserve our trees. But there were kids playing around that tree. When they said they found the tree that the infected fruit bat was in that caused the whole epidemic, that was the day that I was like, wow, anybody who still believes this whole orchestrated fear porn really deserves everything they get. The UN Secretary General, Ebola specialist David Nabarro continues, quote, there will be more. One, because people are moving around more. And two, because the contact between humans and the wild is on the increase. And maybe because of climate change. So wait, I hear Jenna 21 in here screaming loudly. So how do we stop it? Well, I don't know. If what's causing it is that we're moving around more, number one, and number two, that we have contact with nature, well, then maybe we should restrict movements and keep people in cities. Oh, what? Yes, that's exactly how Agenda 21 reads. And I'll do it in the name of stopping climate change. Wow, that was like way more UN agenda than I could even stomach at this moment. The worry we always have is that there will be a really infectious and beastly bug that comes along, says Nabarro. Before 2013, there had never, ever been an outbreak of Ebola in West Africa. Gee, go figure. But some scientists have suggested that the increases in population, deforestation, and a change in rainfall has affected the behavior and the numbers of fruit bats, which may have led to the outbreak. I mean, can we spread the bullshit on any thicker? Humanitarian aid workers have reported that Ebola epidemics, this one in particular, which began on December of 2013, has created more than 25,000 orphans and has killed all their parents. All right, I only got about 2.5 minutes left here, so I'm going to hop to this next story. So beyond Ebola, let's really quick connect because I have a clip for you. They are going to go after our loved ones. Here we go. Dog flu epidemic out of the blue. It's Chicago.
You guys have been searching on Google more about how veterinary hospitals in Chicago are overwhelmed by dogs with canine influenza. The virus is spreading so quickly that local news stations are calling it an epidemic.
Well, just to give you guys an idea of how bad it's gotten the past 3 weeks, PetSmart closed 3 Chicago area pets hotels until Sunday. The popular dog Easter egg hunt, which I didn't even know about until today, in Horner Park has been canceled. Park authorities are posting signs to warn people about not bringing their sick dogs.
And Chicago authorities are worried that with spring break just around the corner and people traveling, the virus could spread outside of the city of Chicago. Now, back with us is celebrity dog expert Victoria Stilwell. Now, how do you know if your dog has this virus?
It's difficult because it can sort of, the symptoms can be, nasal drip. It can be coughing. It can be like kennel cough. Mm-hmm. But I think the big difference is that you can, your dog will have a temperature. Now, normal dog temperature is around 101 to 102.5. But this, they get a fever, which is around 103 to 105. Now, unless you want to take your dog's temperature, if you're worried at all, take your dog to the veterinarian.
Okay.
So, but if you see these symptoms, do that. Take your dog to the vet. That's
yes, I would. I mean, I would. I'd always err on the side of caution.
Never weigh
just
it out.
Just because, no, because this virus is very dangerous, and some dogs will die from it. Some dogs will develop pneumonia, and they will die from it.
I don't even know how you take a dog's temperature. I'm sorry if that's kind of graphic. How do you do that?
It's rectally.
Okay.
So that if you don't want to do it yourself,
that's
you take
painful.
A rectal
the
thermometer.
Okay.
Yeah, then you take them to the vet and let them do that.
And obviously a separate thermometer just for your dog,
oh,
and not
yes.
one that you
oh, yeah,
use
not,
for
not
yourself.
Human.
And to prevent your dog from getting the flu, obviously.
Yeah.
You don't want your dog to be around other dogs.
Yeah, you know, avoid the dog. In Chicago, avoid dog parks, doggy daycares, boarding facilities. But it's spring break now.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to be traveling. And so
weather's
the dogs
perfect.
Are going to be going to these facilities.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people are going on vacation. So it could spread more before we start to see the back of it.
You got to find that one trustworthy relative to ask to watch your dog.
Or get a pet sitter into your home to watch your dog. That's the safest option.
Yeah.
And this is my...
So how convenient is that, right? A spring break kicks in and there's this epidemic and people are going to be traveling and taking their dogs and oh my God, it is going to just spread like crazy. All the symptoms are pretty average, so you're not going to know your dog has it. So this is something to keep your eyes on. I have never really heard of doggy flu. Some people yesterday when I mentioned it in chat said they've known about it before. Maybe it's been out there, but how interesting that it hit Chicago too. You know, Chicago, the pit of lizards, where they've been working on creating a police state. Well, guys, listen, we got tons more to talk about, so we'll continue this tomorrow. There's about 15 seconds left. Make sure you stick around. It's Wednesday night. So we have live tonight, Josh with Anti-Tyranny News at 6 p.m. The boys from New York, Jonathan and Steven at 8. Truth Talk Radio with April and Burstein with their show from Sunday. And Anti-Media Radio with Nick and DB at 11. All right, guys, everyone have an awesome Wednesday. And I guess I don't have any music. Or even if I'm even on air. There we go. All right, guys, have an awesome Wednesday. We will catch up with you tomorrow. Everyone take care.